Today's daf is daf Samach Aleph, and we're holding on Samach Amud Beis on Vayitave David, Vayomar Mieshkeni Mayim, which is between the big lines. So basically six lines down from the top, the middle of the seventh line. Vayitave David. Vayomar Mieshkeni Mayim Yibor Beit Lechem Asher Bishar. Strange pasuk. David HaMelech is in the middle of fighting the Plishtim, and all of a sudden he asks for a bottle of Me'eda. I mean, it's very weird. I'm not happy with the local water. I wish somebody would be able to bring some water from that delicious Mayan by Beit Lechem. What's he talking about? Now, obviously, if he's talking about Asher B'Sha'ar, he's got to be referring to Bezdin. There's always Sha'ar, there's always a sin of Sha'ar, he wrote. It's Bezdin. So apparently, he had to know something at the Shar, meaning from the Bezdin, and he needed a Psak Halacha, but okay, understood, it's the middle, nobody's going to be in there, surrounded by Plishtim. So what happens? Vayivku shloshet agiborim b'machaneh, Plishtim. So the three heroes, and it doesn't say their name for some reason, the great marines in the machaneh, they bust through the machaneh Plishtim, vayishav umayim b'bor beit lechem, they get there, Asher B'Sha'ar, and they take it, Vayisu, Vayaviu, El David, they bring it to David, V'lo Aval, Ishtotam, he refuses to drink them, and instead, Vayasech Otam L'Hashem, he pours them out to the Lord. Now, what in the world is this all about? It's one of these weird stories that appears both in Shmuel and in Divrei Hayamim, and it's obviously very mysterious. So, Ma'akam Yibayimai. What exactly did David need so desperately to know? And what exactly happened? Omar Rav Amar Rav Nachman, he had a problem. He needed a psak on Tumun in the middle of the war. Why did he need a psak on Tumun in the middle of the war? Because as part of the war, you'll see later on, the Gidishim of the Jews in the area caught on fire. And he needed to know, they had apparently, because of the war, they had hidden expensive things in the Gaddish. And he needed to know if he had to pay, how much he had to pay. Did he pay just for the value of the Gaddish, or does he pay for these expensive things that had been hidden? So he wanted to know, Ikrib Yudik Rabban, what's the halacha? Is Tamar Beishchai ever potter? We'll see. And they, whatever. We don't know what they answered them, but obviously they paskin either the Tomer is chayav or potter. Rav Huna says, it's not so pashut. But what happened over there was that the Plishtim were lying in ambush for his soldiers inside of the Gidishim. They had these barns and these piles of grain, and the Plishtim would hide there. And the easiest way to get rid of Plishtim is to burn them all alive. So he wanted to know, like, what do we do? Maybe we could just bomb the whole place, carpet bomb them. We'll get rid of the Plishtim. Problem is, yeah, this is exactly what the Americans did in Vietnam. Right? You're going to give them room to hide, burn down the barns, destroy the jungle. What? I didn't hear.
The Americans didn't ask for
a sack. That's why they got into so much trouble. You know? So he wanted to know, is it mutter to burn the place down because it makes it easier for us to fight the Plishtim? So they sent him back. Look, if you were a private individual, you can't just go ahead to be batzil atzmo. Meaning, in other words, are you chayev to be mishalim or not? That's the question. Or since it was pikuach nefesh, so they said, no, you're going to have to pay. But, this is Atos' word, but Atam Melechata, but this is no kasha. You're asking shailas that are not reasonable shailas. You are a melech who has the right of eminent domain. You can do whatever the heck you want. What are you asking a shaila for? Melech parets, nasot lo derech, vein mochin biyado. If this is the easiest way to go, so it's like building a highway. You needed to build a highway. You could be mafkia the land and just build a highway.
Without
so you don't. That's Shaila, according to Tosis, whether, you know, that the way he's learning, it would be strange, because it means stop without compensation. Not so pashut. Huh? The other way of learning is that there's obviously a alternative to carpet bombing. The question is whether this is the easiest way. Does he have a right to do it? Rabbanan itemer Rabba Bar Mori amru gedishim de saorim de Yisrael have, the gedishim de adashim de plishtim have. This sounds a little bit crazy, but as we'll see, the reason that he's saying this is because in Shmuel it reports that what was going on was that there were gedishim that were full of adashim, and then the same exact story in Divrei Hayomim says gedishim full of saorim. There must be some significance to that. So, what's the significance? Therefore, Tainas, Rabba Bar Mori, that, no, that's the whole point. In other words, he did not have fuel right now for his tanks, right? So he says, how about if I steal the fuel from these guys? And when I conquer the police, I'll take their fuel tanks and I'll replace the fuel that I took. So, is that okay or not? So, Kabi Baimu, Mali Togi Dishim Shel Sorim to Israel. Can he take the saorim of the Yisrael, the tain lefnei b'amtot, to fuel his animals? Amonat l'shalem k'dishim shel adashim. He knows how he's going to pay them back. Or is it usher to take something, even al-das, to pay it back? Shochule, so they wrote him back. Look, chavo yashiv rasha, zela yishalem. Yeah, it's great. He's still a rasha. He pays it all back. Right? Whatever he took, yishalem. Great. Apa pishik, zela yishalem. He's still called a rasha in the bus. So, I mean, this is no excuse. I'm taking it, but don't worry, I'll pay back. I mean, that's a chamsin. But it's not negeya the shaila that you're asking, because ata melech ata, u'melech poreitz lasot lo derech v'ein molchim b'yado, you have a right of eminent domain, and there's no problem. So, wait a second now. So, notice we have three approaches. Talmud wanted to know what he has to pay for what was nisraf, is the way Rashi understands it. Then there's the question of carpet bombing. And then there's a question of exchange. So now, if you hold Bishlam Elamandi Amalak Lufi, if you're telling me that the issue over here was the question, that it's okay to take something, I'm not to pay it back with an exchange, that would explain why it was significant to change the story between Shmuel and Divrei Hayomim. So I know, that's why we find Dichtiv Chatkra Vatisham Chalkata Sadeh Meleya Adashim. So the way the Pesuk in Shmuel describes it is that it's full of lentils. And the way the Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim describes it is that it's full of Saorim. Kalkata Sadem Layasor is the same exact story. How do you change the story? Must be that each is being mashlim what the other one is saying. So then it's significant. But because that way I understand that it was an exchange issue. And not, otherwise I would have missed that. But, I mean, if you hold Laman Jabal Lamikle, the question is carpet bombing. Well, who cares whether you're carpet bombing? I mean, whatever it is. So what do I need these two psukim for? So my brother, Lohani Trikroy, that's not a kash. Because Lamaisa, the Torah doesn't want to misrepresent anything. On the other hand, the Torah doesn't want to speak extra. If I tell you in one place, in one place, Adashim, unless you're a Meshuggah Bible critic, you understand that what it means is that one is Mashal and the other. Here I'm telling you about the Sayyidim. Here I'm telling you about the Adashim. Put the two together and you understand what the situation was. I'm not going to sit there like a Ruchla telling you every last thing that was around her. Fine. So the Havinami, Gedishim, the Adashim, the Yisrael, the Havimitav, Rabu, Plishti. Fine. There were two separate issues. All right. Vishle, Vilamad, Yom, Lavikle. Okay. Haidu, Dichti, Vayit Yatsev, Betocha, Chalka, Vayatzila. Look. Afterwards it says, that what David HaMelech did was that no, he stood in the middle of the field and he saved it and then he killed the policeman. I understand what that means. Even though he was given the right to carpet bomb, he said, no, I'm not going to do that, I'm saving it. Okay, but I mean, in exchange of fuel tanks, you call that Vayatzilea. So, Levan de Melach Lufi, my Vayatzilea. What do you mean? It's also called Vayatzilea. Because the Lo Shafkelo Lachlufi, not allowing his men to take away, even temporarily, their fuel tanks, is also Vayatzilea. Why is that so bad? So the Lo Shafkelo Lachlufi. Okay, so these two approaches make sense. And that's because it had something to do with the things that he was destroying. The Sorim versus the Adashim. He was destroying the Sorim and the Adashim. But if the Shaila was Tamun, so then the whole Shaila was what was inside and not what was outside. So it's completely irrelevant to me whether he burned. He should just say, Gadish. Because I'm not dealing with the Sorim, I'm not dealing with the Adash, I'm dealing with anything. But on the contrary, there's like a red herring. You're asking about the tumah and the wallet that's inside, and you're mentioning in the pasuk something completely different, which is what was outside. So what, why in the world would we bother mentioning it all? So bishlei b'hanit tarti, hanit dichtiv trei kroy. But l'man yomer tumah beish kami boilei, my boilei kroy. What do we need this looking for at all? The tumah is irrelevant to whatever it was. I couldn't care less. Chitim, sorry, madashim, wood piles, what do I care? Amalecha. No, obviously, if you hold Tamun, that is a shaila about one element of it. Then the remez of the change of adashim, we're mentioning there, the adashim and the sa'irim, is also merames that there was another issue. So it was Tamun plus one of these other shailas. So, look, if you tell me that he was given a heter, and they told him, you have a right because you're a melech, you can carpet bomb, forget about Aza, forget about the reporter, just go in there and blow him up. And he decides, it's Jewish property, so of course, if it wounds Aza, I'm going, we're going to go and blow up the whole thing. I'm not going to use that heter, we'll figure out other ways of doing it. We'll gaz them. So then, you could say, that in such a case, the pasuk ends, Lo ava David lishtotam. I don't want to take advantage of the psak halacha. I'm not going to do it, even though I had a right to do it. Because if I were a private citizen, it would have been usur. So I'm going to act lifnei mishurat hadin. So therefore, even though they brought him the water, so to speak, which is ein mayim el ha'tayra, he refused to drink, meaning he refused to be soymech on the kula, and he went l'chumrah. Because he said, no, kiva d'iki yisura. If for a private citizen, it's Esther Monechli, I don't feel comfortable with utilizing this. But if you're telling him, Esther, you're telling him, he already burned it. Now the Shaila was, is he Chayav HaTomen or not Chayav HaTomen? What do you mean he didn't want to drink it? It doesn't make any sense, he didn't want to drink it. Either they paskin one way, they paskin the other way. So Laman Yom HaTomen Be'esh Kami Boilei. Michti, Gemara with the Shalchalei. They sent him a Gemara. They say, no, I'm throwing out the Gemara. I mean, it's Milo Ava David Shlotan. Ah! Did you notice that in a Maisa like this, an astounding story, three guys break through the entire encirclement of the Plishtim, go straight through to Beit Lechem, come back, and we don't even mention their names. Why don't we mention their names? That's why. The Lo Avid Avad David Lishtotam doesn't mean he didn't rely on the Psak. It means he refused to quote it in their name. That's why. Because he said, Kach v'kublani mi'beit dino shel Shmuel ha'Ramati, a guy who risks his life to get a psak halacha, we don't quote him. Because the whole inyan of quoting a person is because it's maybe gula loyalam. So I'm able to now, the person who himself was involved in this in a way that could have destroyed him, which was not what he should have done, we don't quote his name on it, because we're trying to say, maybe Gula Lo Ilam at something where he almost killed himself. It's all very nice, a big hero. But this is not what we quote people for that kind of heroism. The Reader's Digest can write about it, but the Torah is not going to write about it. Then it says, continues, Lo Avad David Shtotam, Vayasechotam Lashem. He poured them out to the Lord. I mean, what do you mean? Poured them out to the Lord. I mean, if you learn the first two approaches, that what he did was he was machmer al atzmai. So poured it out to the Lord means I'm not taking advantage of this. L'shem shamayim, I give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm being mischased with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I will not take advantage of my position as king. Everybody else was saying let them eat cake, and he's taking things more serious. But okay, so that makes sense. So we're saying a metaphor. He gave it out to the Lord. He poured out the waters of it. I mean, but if he asked Tamun Be'esh, what's the chance he gave it to the Lord? I mean, he didn't do anything. He's just not quoting them. No, this is more. Giving it to the Lord means that he quoted it in the name of the Lord, so to speak. In other words, instead of saying Omar, whoever it was, Omar Rabbi Shimon, maybe that was the name of one of the guys who went out, he refused to say that. And he said it over Mishma de Gemara, like we find often. Mishma de Gemara, Omar. I'm telling you who said this, Ma'amar. It was a Kabbalah that we had. That's what he said. The Psak Halacha of the Bezdin and Beis Lechem was, Tamun is whatever, Potter Chayev. Why didn't he say it over Bishmam? Because, Kach Bekublan. No, they didn't have, he said, me, Alavai, I wish it were possible. So these guys said, His wish is our command. I would have told you to go risk your life. What's the matter with you? We'll manage. I'll pay extra. I'll pay the tumen. It's out of Suffolk. I mean, we're going to send people out to the Machanah Plishti. What are you trying to prove? Avrah Gader. Shuluka Voa Arba Amot. Oder HaRabim. O Nahar Patur. Now we discuss the equivalent din when it was by shore. We talked about Nal Bifanei Karaui. What's Karaui? Ruach Mitzuya. We had all these discussions. Now it's time to have the equivalent discussion by H. It's time to discuss what is considered to be a Shmira that is acceptable by H. So first of all, distance is one issue. How far is it reasonable to worry about a fire crossing a fire barrier? There's different types of barriers. You can make a barrier by simply building height in front of the fire. You can have a barrier by having a fire barrier of empty space between the fire and other things. So what we'll see that there's other things. There's also the end of the Mishnah, Nahar. Nahar could be referring to a water barrier, might be referring to a dry riverbed, that was in the Gemara. But there's other types of barriers clearly that are possible. Maybe Nahar isn't it, but you could put some type of anti-inflammatory thing, you know, water is good. And that should also be a barrier. So basically, the Mishnah discusses three types of barriers. An actual bechitza that prevents the heat from getting through, distance that the fire is going to have trouble crossing, and a coolant, perhaps. Says the Gemara, so you're saying that the distance of 4 amot in height, or a derech harabim in width, which doesn't have any mechitza, but a derech harabim is 16 amos, so it means that a fire barrier of 16 amos, which there's nothing for the fire to catch, is okay. And that would be considered, you did a proper shmira, which is what they do. You see this all the time, you're crossing the mountains all over. They make fire barriers of 16 amos, right? In between the two sides. Yeah, that's actually where they usually put the electrical wires, in the fire barrier, for that reason. You need to risk those are not flammable, so they're not canceling anything. Metallic. Okay. So, and the other one is the Nar. Ask the Gemara. I don't get it. The Braitha says, Avrah Gedar Shugavar Ba'amot Chayav, that if a fire manages to cross a fence, a fire fence, of 4 amot in height, then it's Chayav. And our Mishnah says, 4 amot is Pratah. Omer of Papa, well, it depends what direction you're going, doesn't it? I mean, Tadididanka Chashiv Elmala Lamata. Our Tana starts at the greatest height. A fire barrier is kosher. It's 10 amasai, it's kosher. 8 amasai is also kosher. 6 amas is also kosher. 5 amas is also kosher. 4 amas. As a matter of fact, you get all the way down to 4, and you're still potter at 4. But the Tana Bra is saying, 2 amas, you're chayav. 3 amas, you're chayav. Until you get to 4 amas, you're chayav. But once you get to 4 amas, you're potter. So they end up saying the same thing, basically. So they both agree, 4 amas is potter. That's the point. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, this 4 amas, I mean, doesn't it matter what the flammability level of the material is on the other side? In other words, how about if you have something extremely flammable? Usually what you would find extremely flammable that the Torah uses as an example is Umatzah Kotzim. So it says, Rava, note, the 4 amas is referring to maximum flammability. Afila B'State Kotzim. Now, there's something that's a little bit disturbing about this. Because we were talking about on the side of the fire. We weren't talking about on the side of the flammable object that's going to be endangered. In other words, apparently Rav is taking for granted, if we say 4 amas, we mean on either side. Then take a look at the next piece of Gemara, because that's not so posh. Omer of Papa, the measurement is not from the ground, obviously. I mean, that would be ridiculous to measure from the ground. If we're measuring in terms of the danger of the fire to flammable materials, you would need the distance of 4 amot to the height of the flammable material, of course. So if the highest that the pile of thorns go is 2 amos, you would need 6 amos. I mean, because whatever is within the 4 amot range can catch on fire. So when we say 4 amot, we don't mean to the ground. We mean misvat kotzi b'lamala 4 amot. So far, so good. The only problem is that Rav says, look, there's two kinds of fires. This is Rashi's second shot. There's two types of fires. There are brush fires, and then there is fires, forest fires. The difference is not, as people think, the question of whether the flammable material is lower against the ground. Because you know the difficulty of putting out a brush fire.
The difficulty in putting out a brush fire is that the flame is barely noticeable. It's like when sometimes you put out a flame on a piece of paper that was burning, and it just keeps being eaten away by the heat. So what happens is that the fire spreads horizontally. Why is it spreading horizontally? Because since it's a low temperature, you don't get the effect that you normally get with a fire, where you have a fire that's burning at a certain temperature. So the difference in the heat that is being heated by the flame and the atmosphere around means that air is being pushed upwards from the heat of the fire. The atmosphere is coming in underneath, which means that the fire can't spread horizontally. It's being pushed up. Right? So the flames go straight up to the sky, basically. So it's difficult for it to spread horizontally, but it's very, very dangerous and hot around the area. Mashein ken, a brush fire, because it's not all that hot, keeps spreading. If you leave anything you haven't put out completely, and you can't see whether it's out completely, it just keeps eating away at it underneath. But if that's the case, then a nichpepet, which in Rashi's second pshat means a brush fire, you can't rely on any of this, right? Because what are you going to say? What's the difference of the height? If it's a nichpepet, it finds its way along the ground. Now, the other pshat that Rashi says a nichpepet is that there's a high wind blowing, and that the flames are being pushed downwards. In other words, the fire is being bent over. In either event, we have a problem. Because as Tosis points out, look, I don't care what you're talking about. When you started talking about the kotzim, you were referring to what is the distance from the top of the gader to the top of the kotzim, right? But if it's a nichpepet, so then on the other side, where we were assuming that there's also four amot from the top of the burning material to the top of the wall, the nichpefet means it's not going to be able to get over the wall. It's going to be worse if it's nichpefet. So you have a bigger chash in the kotzim, you have a lesser chash on the other side, where the fire is. How's it going to cross a wall if it's nichpefet? Adarava. If it's not nichpefet, it has a better chance of crossing the wall. So it's like milmanachap. If it's from either side, so then whether it's nichpefet or whether it's kolachat, it's exactly the same. It just depends on what side. If it's nichpefet, it's going to be stopped by the wall because it can't go up the wall. If it's kolachas, then it's not going to be able to go down on the other side of the wall. So that makes no sense, what you're saying. Therefore, Titus Tysus. Be'etzim, you could say it's talking about both sides. But the statement of the nafkamina between kolachat and nichpefet is clearly talking about that the nichpefet is more of a problem where the fire is on the same level as the top of the wall on one side, but there's a distance down to the kotzim on the other side. There we're saying that nichfefet, you would be chayiv at arba amis, is not enough, because the flame is burning across downwards. Okay. Otherwise, obviously, you'd take into consideration the height on the side of the fire. So basically, you'd have to determine what you're referring to. So if it's nichfefet, afilo ad mea amachayev. Now, what this afilo ad mea amachayev is very strange. What's that supposed to be?
Now, the truth is, there's two completely different ways of understanding what Rav is saying. Where we're talking about over here, lo shono ela bikolach, ava benichfefet, afilo ad mea amachayev. Is he referring to the height of the wall? Or was he referring to the case of the barrier? He was saying that the shiurim that we're talking about of the barrier of Arba Hameis, of Derech HaRabim, over there, which we'll see, is 16, specifically 16 armies. So is that a din dafken kolachas? But if it's a nichpefet, so then it doesn't matter how big it would be. It would be two ways of understanding it. And the truth is that it's possible, some of the Mefarshim point out, that the two pshatim in Rashi, whether a nichpefet means the wind is blowing on it, the wind is blowing on it to force it down, that would understand the meaning of Rav's statement as being able to get down the side of a wall. There it doesn't make sense to talk about a nichpefes as a brush fire, whereas the other case, Rashi of a nichpefes, which is a brush fire that's creeping along the ground, that doesn't make sense in terms of the height of a wall. So over there, Rashi says, afilu avra derech rishus haravim rachav ma'od. Over there, even has a very wide fire break, it would still be considered to be chayav. There's really two possibilities, and the truth is, as the Gemara continues now, we'll see that there are differences, because the din of admeya ama chayav, but admeya ama, that could be, you're talking about height, indeed. Me'am is possible. It's a word that we use in terms of very high buildings. But we'll see that there's another Gemara that talks about 100 mil. And of course, talking about 100 kilometer high wall is ridiculous. So Shmuel Amar Mas Nisin Binichfefes. That actually Adarav. Now the Mishnah is actually talking about the case of Nichfefes, and that's where it said that Arba Amis is sufficient. But if you're talking about a kolachat, and it's burning straight up, then over there, I feel koshu patur. Actually, the Geder does not even require Arba Amis, according to Shmuel, because over there, all of the heat is being driven upwards by the atmosphere. And if there's some kind of fire break, even if it isn't very high, obviously means that it can't be anything that's within range, but the derech is not for it to go along the ground in that case, but rather to spread upwards. Now here we could see in this bright, that Tanika Basidurav, if it's an echvefet and it has straw or a piece of wood that it can catch on, then I feel like me'amil. Now obviously this is talking about going to the side. So it could be that there's two different statements. Rav is referring to two different cases. Two cases, like as Rashi points out. One of them would be a reference to a wall, where it doesn't matter if it's a brush fire, unless the wall is made out of something that has spread flammable materials on the other side. The other is talking about the width. So over there, nechfefes veitzim mitzuyim la, afilu ad mea mil, even if it would be 100 kilometers, would be chayv. Actually, the Rashba says, well, obviously, I mean, if there's fuel, why not? So the Rashba says, because something that spreads to 100 kilometers is already a natural catastrophe. I mean, people don't usually think that a fire is going to continue to spread and spread, even though they see things around them. But to think that there's going to be continued spreadings for 100 kilometers, that's not normal. And those are the kind of things that are on the news, like for weeks. So, in a chinami, in that case, I might have thought, look, we're talking about a very strange, unusual circumstances of a natural catastrophe that maybe the person should not be held responsible for. Come hashbalan. Bottom line is, umatzak kotzim, as long as they continue to burn, it's considered to be the chiyav of the mavirat habeira. Avra nahar, o shelulit, shem rechavim shmona amot patur. If, however, it crosses a nahar or a shlulit, I'm going to explain exactly what that is in a moment, then even if you have 8 amot over there, would be part, you don't need the 16 amot.
So derech harabim, okay, 16 amot. Who is the Tana that says that 16 amot is a standard fire barrier? Mantana. Amar Rava Rebbe Eliezer. The Bad Yoma who gives 16 amot as the size of a fire break. It's Rebbe Eliezer. The Tanan, the end of our Mishnah, which is coming up. Rebbe Eliezer, Amar Shesh Esrei Amot, Kederach Rishut Rabbi. Okay, the next case the Mishnah says, if the fire crosses a river, you're potter. Now, what do you mean by a river? So what's a Nahar? So Rav Amar, Nahar Mamash. We're talking about a river. Moses, we're talking about a river. We're talking about a water break, no? I mean, even Arita Dedaloi, even if you've got a water irrigation channel, it's only one amma wide, it's still a water break. Sabatiyomer Nahar Mamash. That's the difference. It means Avagav the Lekha Maya. A Nahar is not necessarily a river, it's a river bed. So over there, Tosu says, what about the 16 ammas? Ah, but a river bed has depth also. That makes a difference. Not the same thing as crossing on the same level. So over there, if it crosses a river, even though there's no water in it, because of its depth, that also makes it more difficult for the fire to cross. What Shmuel is saying is that if it's a water barrier, then any water barrier, but then obviously only Be'maya, but let Be'maya alone. Now, Tanan HaTam, we have a similar issue in defining the nature of a break in a field, not for fires, but for Pega. What creates a separate field that's chayv me to leave a separate peya b'sof asad? So over there it says, Elo mafsikim lepeya. It's interesting, it uses the same language as we have over here, Avra naharo shlulit. So over there the Mishnah also says, Hanachav ha-shlulit, v'derech ha-yachid, v'derech ha-rabim. Now, what exactly is a shlulit? Omer of Yehuda. Now, it's very interesting, because the word shlulit is used in modern Hebrew, also is shuli, which means that it's a side point, which would mean that as used in that way, the understanding of the Gemara would mean that it's like a ditch at the edge of a field that allows drainage. It's a shuli,
It's only the shuli of the, so it's the shulayim we use over here as the shoulders. That's what the modern Hebrew word would be for a row that has shoulders, shulayim, right? Which is used metaphorically, zeinyan shuli. It's a side issue.
Marginal
has a subtly different meaning than shuli. So, what is a shuli? Says Rav Yehuda, the Shmuel learns that it's a mokam shemegi shamim sholalim sham. Now, sholalim in the Gemara means, as Rashi points out, either a cluster, meaning gathers some, because we use it shalal shal beitzim. Exactly. So something that is interconnected is a shalal, or it means shalal, which is also a collection. You put together your spoils of war. That's shalal, the general spoils. Then you have malkoach, but you have shalal and malkoach. So there's two lashon over here. So the meaning may be that you have the place where the water is shalalim. So it's a runoff ditch is what it would mean. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's from the lashon of shalal. But shalal means that it gives out things. It's the spoils of war. So what it is an amat hamayim, which is mechaleket shalal la'agapea. So it spreads the goodies, so to speak. Okay. So man yomar makom shebeik shamim shalalim sham. That means even if it's a ditch, doesn't need to be a ama. Ama means an ama because it's an ama. That's what we call it, amat hamayim. So it's one ama in width by one ama in depth, and standard irrigation ditch. Okay, I mean, that's dug out, and that's a kosher kated amat hamayim. I mean, man yomar amat hamayim.
Because it's bigger?
Huh?
The amat hamayim is larger than the shalal?
No, it's a well-defined ending. If it's mark, we're talking about the gabi peya. Markup shemekes shamim shalalim sham would not be matzik according to him. Why? Because you ask somebody, what's that? That's the bagi the Arab. It's not called something that's external to the field. It's called the bagi. Bagi is the notion of aganot, be'aganot, says Rashi. So in other words, it's the usage of the field. It's like if you put a drain in the middle of the street, what are you going to say? That splits the street into two, like over here in the Rova. So you have a shalal in the middle of the street that the water runs down. You call that the drainage of the street, but it's not called this. And amat hamayim serves a function on its own. It's for the field, but it's not the drainage of the field, which is just bottled to the field. So therefore, according to him, this would not be a separate area for payah. Dear President, you know, President, this week there was an airplane that was bringing this conductor, I'm sure you heard about it, where they asked him to identify himself, he's landing in a lot, and the plane did not respond, so they had to send out fighter planes to intercept it. They're not allowing the plane to depart. Why? They tina that the only reason he didn't respond is because he was dremeling, or he was drunk, obviously he came from the Ukraine, the pilot. It was really vodka. He got a little mixed up with the fuel, his fuel. So Lemaisa, when a president falls asleep and starts to dribble, and it's time for him to identify the Halakha Mishnah, they may not let you leave the room. No, of course, chas v'shalom. Yeah. Yes, of course. Hamadlik b'toch shalom. At kama tavar ad lekana. We made reference a moment ago to the distance of a fire break. What is a fire break if you're in the middle of your rishos? Oh, that would be, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, ro'inoto ki'iluhu be'emtza beit kur. It's as if you look at it as the field is like a beit kur, and you're in the middle of that beit kur, which is an enormous size of it. Where you're talking about close to 300 amas. It's gigantic. What I call it, 275 amas almost. On all sides. Rebbe Eliezer says, what do you mean? 16 amas. Kederach Rosh Hashanah. That was the Rebbe Eliezer we were referring to. Rebbe Akiva Emer 50 amas. You need 50 amas. Rebbe Shimon says, look, man. This is Shalem Yishalem Amav Irat HaBeira. Pay through the nose. This is what we think it means. We're going to change it. I call a fiat like God. Whatever you burned, you pay. Don't give me this business about fire breaks. So did it cross the fire break? So you made the fire. What do you mean? Let Leila Rabbi Shimon Shiura, but like he's trying to say, it doesn't matter to have a fire break if it doesn't make any sense. He himself, Paskin, is not like that. What's not? We know that we have a Mishnah, Legabi the Dinim, of zoning. It's actually machlokas whether it's real zoning laws or it's a din between Shechinim. In other words, is the city enforce this or the Bezdin enforces this, but or you could sue for this. But it says in the Mishnah, Yamid Adam Tanur Betoch HaBayit, you're putting it in an oven. Oven creates a tremendous amount of heat. You've got to have 4 amot between the top of the oven and the ceiling, because otherwise you can cause a fire. Huh? So Elohim Kenyesh al Gabo Gavar Bamot. If you're on the second story, then you have to also worry about the distance between, obviously it's less because the heat goes up, but nonetheless, you've got to worry about the distance between the bottom of the oven and the floor underneath. So if you're putting up an oven in an aliyah, you need ache tachtav ma'aziva shlosha tvachim. You need 3 tvachim of plaster between it and the flammable materials. And if you're talking about a stovetop, you need a tefach, because a stovetop obviously is much less hot than an actual oven. But imizik mishalim ashizik. This is only in terms of zoning laws. But if lamaisi, you end up causing a fire, you're still going to have to pay for the fire. This is not a patur. It's just what you're allowed to do, or what your shechinim could prevent you from doing if they're upset. Rabbi Shimon says, no. These shiurim are in fact zoning laws that are put into place automatically to potter you if there is a fire, because you did whatever is the norm. So no nemru shiurim alalu, ela shimizik patur ben shalem. But like, this is a reversal. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says, look, man, you caused the fire. What are you coming to discuss? What should have been and what could have been. Obviously it was. That's what we look at. We look at what was. So how do you explain the Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon is saying if you have a fire, break your potter. And in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says, I don't care how far you are. Yeah. You don't understand what Rabbi Shimon didn't mean. I call if you had like a pray through your nose. Rabbi Shimon is saying, Shalemi Shalema Mavir et HaBe'era implies a relationship to the particular fire. Were you the mavir of this beira or not? So obviously you have to analyze the facts. You can't give me a generalized statement. I mean, every fire is different. Is it generating a tremendous amount of burning ashes? Is it extremely hot? Is it a cooler fire? What kind of materials is it? How high is it? What kind of crazy thing is that? A classic fire break. What do you mean? If you're talking about a forest fire, it's one thing. You're talking about a prairie fire, it's another thing. You're talking about Lag BaOmer, forget about it. So what are we talking about? Therefore, what he meant, you have to look at the fire and not present some type of standardized fire break. That's halacha. Halacha Rabbi Shimon. V'chein omer Rav Nachman omer Shmuel. Halacha Rabbi Shimon. But it all depends on the circumstances. You cannot give a standard break. No specific shear. The shear you look at, given that this is a fire, was it reasonable for this guy to think that the fire wouldn't spread or not? That's it. Right. Same thing. Well, under normal circumstances, something that you would have to think of.
If it's a very windy day, and you made a fire.
Yeah, that's one of the problems of the other Pshat and Rashi of Nichfefet. Because that's all a different issue. That's the question of Ruach. I mean, what do you think, a type of fire? If it's nechvefet because of the wind, so then you're not talking about a type of fire. You're talking about a type of spreading. So the other pshat and Rashi makes much more sense. But then it becomes problematic about a wall. I mean, how does a nechvefet cross a wall? That's why Rashi, I mean, the meaning of nechvefet, the pash, is a brush fire. But how does a brush fire cross a wall? It doesn't make any sense. Okay, so that's why he brings both possibilities. It could be, obviously, there was some level of flammable materials that was able to cross. Guy causes a fire over here in the Gadish. There's kelim inside. Here we get finally to the Mishnah. Tomod machlokes Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachomim. So Rabbi Yehuda, Imer Meshalim, Asher Betoichai, the Chachomim, Omri, Imenu Meshalim, Gadish, Shalchitim, Asher Tzorim. Rabbi, the Chachamim say, look, what's inside of it, you don't pay. Obviously, you pay the same volume. I mean, I could get away with murder, but you cannot say that you have to pay the value of my very expensive Chinese dish. I'm supposed to know you've got an antique inside of your Gadish. So you pay for that volume of whatever the Gadish was, Chitim, Sar, whatever. Rebbe Yehuda says, no, what do you mean? You're chayav on tum. Haya gedi kafutla. So you have now a tied up animal, and you have an eved samuchlo. There's an eved now that is near it, that could have run away. Instead, the eved is killed, but it's raf imo. So in that case, you're chayav on the gedi, and you're chayav on the gadish, because there's no p'tur of kavlek d'rabamine. But if the eved was tied up, and the gedi was samuchlo, then it's raf imo. So in either case, you'd be potter, because the gedi could have run away. If you burned the eved, then you're chayav kamle ben rabbi, that's your potter on the gadish. Okay.
Wait, because you're chayav
kamle ben rabbi,
but you're chayav what, shloshim shel eved?
No, if you murder an eved, it's a sure it's shloshim shel eved.
Right, so what are you chayav here?
Death.
Why?
You killed an eved.
Well, obviously I didn't do it on purpose. It's not,
so kamle ben rabbi, it doesn't have to be chayav mis a shoygingin. So you're chayav mis. Oh, exactly. Remember that the Gemara analyzed this before in terms of the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Mishlokish. We asked from this Mishnah, how could you be chayav on the eved unless you hold Eishah Mishum Chitzah? Mishlokish is Eishah Mishum Amona. Were you ever chayav Misa Amon Amazi? The Gemara answers, according to Mishlokish, you'll have to say that you put the Eish down on the eved. That's the only way you would be chayav on the eved. I mean, he was there. What do you mean? He was there. It doesn't matter. But what's an afkamin if you knew or not? So it's chayv mitzvah shaygini. No, fine. Meirich hachoyim the Rabbi Yehuda b'madliket habira. You go ahead and you burn a house down. So what do you say? Well, all I saw was aluminum siding, so I'll pay for aluminum siding. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's not called tamun. Chayv on kol mashu betocha. That's not tamun. That's visible. When you see a house, you see a dining room set, you see draperies, and you see kalim, and so on and so forth. What?
Even if you don't see them.
Yeah, that's what you're seeing. That's what you're looking at when you're looking at the house. Omer of Kana. Machloket ben madlik betor shalom. The machloket about Tomun is where you lit the fire in your owner's shoes. The halchav akla betok shel chaveiro, and then it went ahead. Now it spread. So over there, Rabbi Yehuda is mechayev aniske mamid tomu be'eish, and the rabbanon are pater. But if you're madlik betok shel chaveiro, then you're not a mamazi. The divrei komishon komash betok. You go now to burn a guy's thing. And you say, well, you know, I only meant to damage you X. I didn't know you had your wallet hidden in there. I'm like, Rabbi, I mean, come on. If that's the truth, then it's only safer. Meirim chachomim l'Rabbi Yehuda b'madlik et habira shemishalem kol ma shebetocha shekein derech b'nei adam laniach bebatim. Instead of talking about changing the case, change the case. Well, but if you burn down a house, you don't have to change the case. Let's talk about the same case. You could say, b'med var ma'murim liflok v'listi b'nidah. Make a distinction in the given case. B'med d'var ma'murim b'madlik b'toch shalom v'alchav yachal b'toch shalchav eirov. But, I mean, after all, as Rav Kahana was kind enough to teach us, is that if he'd be madlik b'toch shalchav eirov, divrei hakom ishalim kol mashaya b'tocho. That's what it should have said. Therefore, I taina, says Rava, there's two separate machlokas in here. The point is this, b'tarte pligit. They're arguing about Tamun Be'esh, Bechlal. Is there such a thing? So the Plige B'matik B'tok Shalom, V'alcha V'alcha B'tok Shal Chavero. Over there, Rabbi Yehuda says, look, it's true, it's Momen Amazik. You're Matik B'tok Shalcha. Where did the Torah ever say you're Potter? Kama did not mean Kama Lafuke Tamun, Aliba the Rabbi Shema, Aliba the Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, you're Chai. Rabbanan Savre, where's Rabbanan say, no, there's a din of the Ptur of Tamun Be'esh. But they're also Chalek, even the on an issue where you were Madlik Bishal Chavera. That's the Pshat. Well, over there, Rabbi Yehuda Savre Mishalim Kol Masha Betocho. You pay for everything. Even if a guy hit a wallet, you pay. Whereas the Rabbanan say, no. You pay for everything that you had a right to assume might be there. Because if you're Madlik Batoch, the other guy's Rishus, then you have to take responsibility on anything that might be there. but not on something that shouldn't be there. So in other words, you light a Gaddish. Very often in the barn, you will find the kalim for the plowing. You'll find the kalim that are used for the threshing. These are expensive things. Where do people keep it? They keep it in the barn. And it gets covered by the... Fine, you take the grain out, and underneath it you have the clay morigin, which is used for doing the threshing. So that's a normal place to keep such a thing. So you have to pay it, even though it's not visible. Not us, the din. It's nothing to do with Tobin. I agree with you that over here, we're talking about a different issue. What is your chiyuv in terms of being mazik? But somebody takes something that doesn't belong in the gaddish, puts his wallet in the gaddish. And he says, you burned down $100,000 of cash. So over there, kalim shadar kamlat min begaddish. Things that normally could be found in a gaddish, like morigin, which is used for threshing, the heavy wood. The clay abakar that you use now to attach your animals. So there, who the mishalim? But kelim shein darkat latbim begadish. Lo mishalim. There's two different issues here. One has nothing to do with the other. It's a question bichlal whether there exists a ptur of tamun be'esh. Issue number one. And then there's issue number two. What is the responsibility for causing damages in terms of what you had to take into consideration when you did something dangerous like that?
So Tamun
Beish does apply. One moment. Tamun Beish does apply, but only when it's the normal Mamana Mazik where you're Madlik Batok Shalom. Vateitseish. Umatsakoma. Wait. Umatsakoma. Over there you're Patra Tamun.
When you light it in your house.
Right. And then it was Matsakotim and went out. There's
a kasa.
Ah,
okay.
Right.
Broadcast live over the phone?
Tanur Abanan, maybe. Not always available. Tana Rabbanan. Hamadlik et HaGadish v'yubo kelim v'dalku Rabbi Yudah Membisham kom ha'shaya b'tochu. Rabbi Yudah says, there's no such ptur of Tomon, I understand. Teres v'chayev you, whatever damages you cause, you pay. V'chachomim omrim, you pay what you see. En ha'mashalam el HaGadish al chitim, it was chitim. If it's a Gadish al sa'orim, then you pay the sa'orim for that volume. V'ro'in b'kom kelim, kilu malay tvua of whatever type was on the surface. And that's it. When do we say that? We say that if you lit in your own rishus, and then the Torah says that the eish was matzah keitzim and was yatzah kiteitzei eish. Okay, so obviously this gzeres hakasim is talking about a yetzia of eish. But when madlik shetok shel chaveray, mishalem kol mashaya betocho, which of course according to Rava. Kol ma'ashay v'tocho, meaning shedarka, limatzei begad. That's the Rav Hashita. There's two completely different makokas. Umoda Rabbi Yudah l'chachavim, which I think we'll do on Mitzvah Shabbos, yeah. Vayitaveh David vayomar, mi yashkeni mayim mi bor beit lechem asher b'shar, vayivkuhu shoshet hagiborim b'machane plishtim, vayishavu mayim mi bor beit lechem asher b'shar. Whoa, am I coming back? Vayomar Rava. Omrim Nachman, Tamun Beish Kami Barley, Kribyudik Rabban, partially whatever, you know, I mean, depends who he has. Anyway, Rivuna Amar, no, it's Gedishim, the Serm Nisrael Abbot, Avim Matamri, please, Timbu. The Kami Barley, Mala, Tzilat Smobe, Momot Kavero. Shokulay, look, for a normal guy, it's also Mala, Tzilat Smobe, Momot Kavero, Mala, Tam, Mala, Kata. Milak, Barayt, Tzilat Soto, Derek, the Ein Mochin, Biyoda. That's the point. Rabbanan, Vitema, Rabba, Bar Mori, Omru, it was Gedishim to serve the Yisrael Havu. And there were also Gedishim of Adash that belonged to the Plishtim Havu. V'kam Iboilu Ma'u Lito Gedishim to serve the Yisrael Liten Litei Bem Tom and not to Shalim Gedishim to Adash with the Plishtim. And they said, look, you know, it's all a very nice excuse. Chavol Yashiv Rasha Gizela Yishalim. Very nice, but he's still called a Rasha. Tavav Yishgad B'Sham Rashu. Aval Atat Sandagia Belachata. Melach Koreit Sassot Loderach Ein Mokin Biyadah. That's significant. No, David was the great hero of Vayitzev. What's the Vayitzila? The Lord Shabbat will not lose it. But Bishop Hani Tarti, I know the Thief Croy. The man, you're a Tamil Beish coming boiling. What do we need this information? Bichlal, who cares? My boy like Roy. I'm like, oh, well, obviously, it must be Tomo Vachod Amihana, honey boy, right? So, Bishop of the Mandi or Hani Tarate, Haina Dektiva Lo Ava David Lishtotam. Amar, Kivan de Ika Yisura, for a normal person, Lo Nechali is a Melech. But Lamandi or Matoma Vishkami Baile Mirte. Gemara with the Shokli. What do you mean, Lo? He's going to change the halacha because he doesn't like it. Gemara Lo Ava David Lishtotam. Vatanya Avraga Dushkavar Bahamot Hayav. I'm Rav Papa Tanadi Dun. Kakosh Vilamala Lamata. Sheshamot Patur. Hameshamot Patur. Adabamot Patur. Tanavra Milamata Lamala Kakosh. Shteamot Hayav. Shoshamot Hayav. Adabamot Hayav. Omer Ava Arbamot Shamru Patur. I feel a mistake could seem. Omer Papa, of course, only Misvat could seem Vilamala Arbamot. Omer Rav furthermore, Lashon of the Kolacha. I don't care how it could be even Mayama. Chaya, Shmuel Amar, the Masnisim in Ichfefes, Kolachat, Afilu Koshu, Potter, Tanya Gabbasa the Rab, Mamed the Warren Bekolachat, Ava in Ichfefet, Vetsimisuim La, Afilu Admea Mil, Chaya, Avra Nahar, or Shulit, Shemr Chavima, Bechishwanam, Patur. If you have a Derech Arabi, Mantan, Omer of Rabbi Yezer, Yitzan, Rabbi Yezer, Omer, Sheish, Yitzrayamot, Kiderech Shetarabi, obviously, in the safe of our Mishnah. O Nahar, Rav Amar Nahar Mamash, Shmuel Amar, even in Arita de Daloy. So Andi Amar Nahar Mamash is understanding this is a river bed. Avavidah like a Maya. Mandi Amar Arita de Daloy is seeing this as a water break. So Yit Be Maya in, Let Be Maya Lo, Tzalatam Eilu Mavsikim Lepeya, Anachal Vashlulit, Vederach Ayachid, Vederach Arabim. My Shlulit, Amar Avir Amar Shmuel, Makom Shemek Shamim, Shalonim Sham. Rabbi Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Amat Amayim, Shemechaleket Shalal L'Agapeah. So I'm in a place where Shemek Yishamim Shalalim Sham. Koshkin Amat Amayim. What do you mean Amat Amayim? Mokim Shemek Yishamim Shalalim Sham is not considered to be Hefzik for Peah. Because people receive that as Bagi De'arach Mikro. Amat Lik B'Tok Shalom. At Kama Tavor Ad Lika. Rabbi Lozer Ben Azariah Amir Ron Yatok Yilu Ibenza Beit Kur. Rabbi Liezer Amir Shesh Yisrael Amat Kedar Rishit Arabi. Rabbi Akiva Mer Chamishim Amah. Rabbi Shimon says, look, it says, Shalem Shalem Ma'avirat Abeira. I don't care how much you burned. I call it Yad Lika. What do you mean? Let the Rabbi Shimon Shiur of it Lika. Atzlan lo yamid adam tanur v'toch abayit elim kenyesh kapu gova arbamot. Hayam ma'amido ba'aliyah yini tachtav ma'ziva shlosha tfachim or lakira tefach. V'im yizik v'shalem ha'shizik and it's Rabbi Shimon. He says, no, no, no. Lo nemro shir ma'avalu. Ella as she music patur the shams. Obviously, he holds that there is such a thing as a fire break. Omer Nach, Omer Babua, you misunderstand the Mishnah. Hakolafi adlaika means hakolafi the power of the dlaika, the gova of the dlaika. Omer Yezer, Omer Yudah, Omer Shmuel, Halacha Rabbi Shimon. Omer Nach, Omer Shmuel, Halacha Rabbi Shimon. Hamadlik et Hagadish, Vayubo Kelim, Vedoko. So Rabbi Yudah, Omer, Mishal Masha Petach, Omer, Mishal Malakad, Shachit, Mishal Tzorim. And the equivalent volume. Hayagadika futov evet samukla vinisrafimo kaya. Evet kafutov vigni samukla vinisrafimo patur. Modim kachamim l'revir v'matik et abira. B'shem kovash v'tokom. Shekein derech b'nei adam l'aniach v'vatim. Omrev kana machloket v'madlik b'tok shalo. V'alcha v'yachla b'tok shavachavira. Revir v'chayva nizkita m'vesh v'on patre. Avo v'madlik b'tok shavira divra komishel v'komash v'tokom. Amalei Rava, so if that's the case, at Tami Seifa, Meir, Imkak, Kwamin, Merabir, Mamadri, Kitabira, Shemishalem, Komash, Betocho, Shekein Derech, Menei Adam, Aniyach, Bebatim, you could even say, Anaf Kamina, in the dinner Taman itself, Lifrik, Vesvirida, Vamed, Varma, Merim, Bebatri, Betoch, Shalom, Chavav, Betoch, Shavero, Avo, Bamadri, Betoch, Shal, Chavero, there's no Ptur of Taman, Seifa, Komasham, Komash, Betocho. Elam, Rava, there's clearly two separate issues here. But Tarte Pligi, Pligi Matu Tokshavok Tokshavero, is there a Ptur of Tonim?
But there's also, over there you don't have the Ptur of Tamun, but you have a Svara. What is the Chiyah of the Torah is B'chayv Yistan? So Rabbi Yudah Tzav, Rabbi Shav, Kol Mashi B'toko, whatever is conceivable, if you are Niki. Rabbi Yudah Tzav, Kelim Shedark and Lahatmin B'gadim, Gengom Origen, Klei Bakar, so there you pick. But Kelim Shedark and Lahatmin B'gadim, Shalom B'shal. Tana Rabbi Yudah Tzav, 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 Kol Mashi B'toko, Chachom Aminu B'shal, Rabbi Yudah Tzav, Shachitim, O Gadish Shal Sa'irim, V'rayim Makaba Kelim Kilomala Yitvua. Which, of course, according to Rava, means Kalim Shadar, Liot Beto.